From KVNF, this is Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs show, where we bring you the voices and perspectives that shape life on the Western Slope. I'm your host this week, Brody Wilson. Today, we're heading to Ridgeway, a small town with big screen dreams. The Ridgeway Independent Film Festival is back for its 11th year, bringing together local talent, visiting filmmakers, and a whole lot of creativity. The festival has grown from a handful of screenings into four packed days of film, art, and community. To tell the story, I sat down with festival director Ariel Bielek and several of this year's featured filmmakers.
Hi, Brody. I'm very happy to be in Studio M for the very first time. My name is Ariel Bielek, and I'm the director of the Ridgeway Independent Film Festival. We're in our 11th year in Ridgeway, Colorado.
Ariel took over the festival 4 years ago, and she's made it something uniquely Ridgeway, a mix of film, art, and hometown spirit.
I took it on as a part of my involvement in Ridgeway's creative district, now Creative Main Street, and very passionately grabbed the reins of the film festival and took my background in community organizing, film, and art, and created a festival in Ridgeway. I remixed it a bit, made it bigger, and added art, added some performance when I can, and added elements of community grassroots organizing that I know and love so well into the festival.
She brings that grassroots energy to every part of this four-day event. The festival kicks off on Thursday, October 16th at the Sherbourneau Theater in downtown Ridgeway at 6:45 p.m. There are then films Friday afternoon the 17th and all day Saturday and Sunday the 18th and 19th.
So Kyle Van Buskirk is director and an editor actually here locally in Ridgeway with Expedition Films, and he is showing his film Anna on Thursday, opening night of the film festival on the 16th, and we're just so stoked to have him back at the film festival again with a brand new film. Kyle, would you like to tell us a little bit about this doc?
Thanks, Ariel. Yeah, my name is Kyle, and I grew up in Ridgeway, Colorado. And I directed a film called Anna through my work at Expedition Studios here in Ridgeway. And our film Anna is an intimate, unflinching portrait of the North Face mountaineer Anna Pfaff as she grapples with the aftermath of a life-altering frostbite injury in Alaska, which led to the amputation of six of her toes. This adventure documentary doesn't just follow her physical recovery, it also explores the profound evolution of her character. The painful yet powerful journey towards acceptance and the metamorphosis of both her body and spirit. With the steadfast support of her partner, Andres, Anna faces the raw reality of her transformation, learning to adapt and move forward in ways that she never really imagined. Anna is more than a story of survival, but it's also a testament to the resilience of the human spirit, the strength to embrace change, and the courage to keep climbing, no matter the obstacles. It's really a breathtaking exploration of recovery, reinvention, and the limitless power of movement. And we are just super excited to kick off the festival with this film. And yeah, it'll be a great time.
Well, Kyle, it sounds awesome. I can't wait to see it. And thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle. That was awesome. We're looking forward to that. And that film is playing with a suite of really colorful, exciting films that'll get you really stoked for the duration of the film festival. So
the festival's opening night celebrates outdoor spirit and resilience, a perfect warm-up for the rest of the weekend.
Duane, how do you feel about jumping in? I'm trying to do a little sequential introducing here. Are you ready to talk about some of your films? Duane is a trifecta of films in our film festival. He's showing three, and we're super excited to have him with us across the schedule in three different blocks. He's showing This Light is Fire 2, and he's showing Olympic Village 2028. And he's What's the last one?
Yeah, I'm short of film called Now Hear Me Good. It's like,
Thanks.
my name is Dwayne LeBlanc. I am a filmmaker, artist based in Los Angeles. I am first gen. My parents are from the Caribbean. And I always want to mention that because a lot of my work has to do with migration and themes around belonging and identity. And I think that is a very important kind of statement to make. I'll be showing some films, and they kind of like span across the beginning of my, say, filmmaking career as an artist, and it goes until my latest film, with a few gaps in between, which is kind of interesting. But I feel that there'll be some really interesting conversations, seeing, where, kind of I, my beginnings were, some of these films are actually shot on iPhone and different mediums, and then now I'm showing a film that's kind of more broader, expansive version of the film work that I'm more interested in now.
Here, Dwayne talks about how and when the films were made.
The films that we'll see, particularly This Light Is Fire 2 and Olympic Village 2028, were films that I made them in COVID, during COVID 2020. And they're shot on iPhone. They're very much so, grassroots, a little bit punk rock filmmaking in a way. And then Now Hear Me Good, which is part of my latest trilogy of short films, is more into an expanded kind of universe of things that I think about in terms of like anthropology and kind of like how I move through the medium now versus what I was doing in the past, which I love, both arms of this program. And I think they say different things, but one thing I think would be interesting to see as well is like the heartbeat, kind of like the uniformity between these three films. Like they're vastly different in terms of approach, tools. These two films, do not have any casted actors at all. And then there's a film with, it's very fiction. It's very scripted in a way, and there's a lot of experimental things that happen within the film as well. So it'll be nice to kind of see a big kind of like pie of work, and but then it being very splintered and different, we also kind of see a uniformity within like what the core kind of I would say themes are within the film.
Here's Dwayne on his experience and motivations behind why he makes film.
I started off as a photographer, and I was kind of chasing the medium, understanding the medium. I'm untrained. I don't have any formal training in terms of art. Self-taught photographer, then became kind of a self-taught filmmaker. And I think all the things that I'm working through in art in general is like I'm thinking about the medium. I'm thinking about the form, how I can express kind of like the human experiences that I'm feeling interested in through the medium. And I think what happens is like you have these hypotheses, and then you create these pieces, and then through that work, there's like this there's these new connections, these new textures that kind of arise, and then there's this universality that comes along with it too. And so when I screen the work and I make the work, and through the process of making and screening is part of that too, there's so many incredible discoveries that I find out about like myself, like the world at large, like universality between those feelings and emotions and things that I'm working through in the work. And I think more so than anything, that's why I make film.
Now we move on to the next filmmaker and a fellow radio personality.
Love to talk to Arlo. Arlo's PBS documentary film with Baratunde Thurston, America Outdoors, features Paeonia and its quest to become a dark sky community, accredited dark sky town, just like Ridgeway. We're celebrating Paeonia's dark sky accreditation in Ridgeway, a very neighborly thing to do, I think. And Arlo's short, it's about 13 minutes long, is a very beautiful and inspiring piece that makes you want to run around to every dark sky place and tell everybody the good news about how dark sky accreditation can actually be really good for the wildlife in our beautiful world.
Arlo, welcome to KVNF. It's great to have you on. Tell us, introduce yourself, where you're from. Tell us about your film.
We can basically use what Ariel said as a promo, right? That was already fantastic. But yes, hi everyone. I'm Arlo Perez Esquivel. I am a former science communicator and host for PBS Nova. Nowadays, I'm a host for Colorado Public Radio's Colorado Today podcast, where we bring you the latest news in 15 minutes or less. But yes, that film was a few years ago now. It was part of the series Understory with Baratunde Thurston. It's a 6-part series, and this was the first episode to come out. And although it is studying the science behind light pollution and what it'd be like to get rid of it, because light pollution is the only pollution that you can get rid of with a click of a button, it is so beautiful to see that it goes beyond that. It brings a community together, and we had that chance to just go to Peonia and see how people love the dark sky. So while this is just exploring the science behind light pollution, the science behind dark sky communities, it is really a love letter to the dark sky.
This film is part of a Ridgeway is a Dark Sky Town film block that precedes some stargazing on Saturday night. So Arlo's film will play in a block that starts at 5:30 p.m. and then graduates into stargazing at Frontier Field. And folks can enjoy the night sky full on in person, nature and weather allowing.
Great, great. Who would you like to talk with next?
Shuja, you are on Sunday, and you have blown us away with your impact documentary, Pardon Me. And, you know, you've put your life's work into this film and your community, and I'm just so excited to share this.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. So many amazing filmmakers. My name is Shuja Moore, coming all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, if you're interested in criminal justice, if you're interested in redemption, if you want to know what second chances look like, that's what my short documentary, Pardon Me, is about. It really traces or makes a financial argument about the pardon system in Pennsylvania, but it applies to everybody in every state because the governor of all states can pardon the people within that state. And so we see it being politicized in today's news with the presidential power, but it's something that we can do on a grassroots level. And that's why I'm flying in Colorado in October. Because I want to talk about, you know, what do real second chances look like for us all, for us little folk, you know?
Shuja, that's so great. Can you tell me, Shuja, is there anything in particular about why you decided to make this film? What inspired it?
Well, several things. One is, you know, something that I really like about this festival is the independent, the word independent in the middle of it. It's really important for artists, I believe, to be able to, one, finance a story, the art that they want to tell, but not only that, be able to earn the money for the intellectual property that they create. And that's what part of me was a journey of, because I'm impacted. I spent time in prison and getting out and trying to rebuild your life afterwards when you're relegated to a stereotype in a conviction and that's all people see of you. You have to work really, really hard at changing that narrative. And the way that I thought I could do best was, why not tell my own stories? Why not pull the cameras out, you know, put a team together and figure out how to continue to tell our stories? And so I started with creating a web series called Walkies. And this is my second project called Pardon Me. And so, yeah, you know, I think us from all communities in each community should take some level of power into telling our own stories. Otherwise, somebody else is going to tell your story.
You're listening to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs show, where we bring you the voices and perspectives that shape life on the Western Slope. This week, we're talking all about the Ridgeway Independent Film Festival with the festival director, Ariel Bialak. The film festival runs from Thursday night, October 16th, through Sunday afternoon, the 19th. You can see the full festival schedule and buy tickets at ridgewayfestival.co. There's no E in Ridgeway, and that URL ends in C-O, not C-O-M. That's ridgewayfestival.co. We now resume our conversation with several filmmakers showing films at the festival and the festival director, Ariel Bialak. Here's how the weekend unfolds.
Yeah, so Riff, as we call it, has grown from exactly what you described, watching about, you know, 10, 20 films in a couple of nights during the winter months, to 4 days four whole days basically of film starting on Thursday, October the 16th, with one opening night block of short films, colorful films from across genres that'll give you a nice warm welcome to the film festival, starting at about 6:45 on Friday. I'm sorry, on Thursday, the 16th of October, at the Sherboneau Theater, in our historic 110-year-old theater in Ridgeway. And then we kind of accelerate from there. We start with some afternoon blocks on Friday. So for those of you on Friday the 17th that want to jump right into our generously proportioned festival, you can try it on for size starting at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and you will see some beautiful short films at that time. And so the festival is an opportunity for people to play in a large format festival in a small town and really get a unique experience in a beautiful setting with really passionate people, curious people. So all day Saturday, Sunday, and we do end kind of at a reasonable time on Sunday. So for those that want to come play all weekend, you can.
And approximately how many different films will show over the
99 films?
Whoa.
Yeah. So with short films and with some like micro short films, or we call them short shorts, you know, we can fit in that amount of films. But this is a very, as I said, generously proportioned film festival. There is a lot to discover there. And there are some feature length films. So if you want to really concentrate on some of these films and give them some attention, you can watch some longer pieces. Most everything in this festival, emerging filmmakers, very exciting, full of like bursting with creativity and passion. It's really exciting. And we do have, starting last year, we bring in a film that is already a feature film that is more commercially distributed, and we give it a spotlight. And for those that want to watch something like that, we have Across the River and Into the Trees, which is an Ernest Hemingway film, very different from a lot of our other films. But we really just want to be very, very welcoming and inclusive with our curation, and people really enjoy being able to sit down with the producer who will be zooming in with one of our jurors to do a Q&A after that film.
You mentioned jurors. Mm-hmm. Will you say a little bit about how you select films that show up at the festival?
So our jurors actually are the last leg of that process. And so they are not the jury of the entire festival. They jury the films in competition. So we have five who select the best of the best. And they give out an award in their name, which is really exciting. And this year we have two new jurors, Colleen Thurston and John Smalcolm, who's also the producer of Across the River and Into the Trees. But our festival is a little bit different than some others. And that we have what we call a community curated film festival with some stewardship and with me at the helm here. We have integrated community screenings as we partnered with the Sherboneau. We've welcomed the community to screen the films with us and rate them together, which is really exciting.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's a little more going on here than just watching films or maybe presenting a couple awards. Later in the show, we're going to hear from DJs who are spinning. There's astronomy star parties. Tell me about some of the surrounding art and events.
We try and keep things interesting and integrative to what's special about our region and our town. And so, yes, DJ Viso is special to our region, and he composed the music for Remaining Native, which is amazing music, by the way. And so we're very lucky to have him spinning at the after party on Friday night.
So cool.
I'm super stoked for that. So our star party on Saturday evening if the weather allows, we're going to go out to Frontier Field and we're going to look at the constellations together. Somebody's going to have a big old telescope, I hear. Aaron from Paeonia is featured in the America Outdoors film that Arlo directed is going to come out and talk to us. And we have a lot of astronomers and amateur astronomers in the area a lot because we're a dark sky community. The sky is living out loud here. So
and that's on point because there's a film about dark skies and Paeonia's quest to become a dark sky community.
They've already been accredited as the dark sky town. Yeah, so we're remaining accredited, spreading the word. Actually, you know, being an accredited dark sky town is sort of like a living thing. You have to, as new people come into the community, you have to educate them. And this is something that folks know. So you show up to the film festivals, you show the films, you talk about what it means to be a dark sky town. And you basically, it's like what is it? It's like an oral tradition almost of community activism. We have made some dark sky camping available. It's not exactly an event, but Top of the Pines is a nonprofit organization at a place a couple of miles outside of Ridgeway. And it's a very special place. And it's also a dark sky accredited dark sky park. And if you're feeling pretty fierce and want to be on the land, you can do rustic tent camping for free at Top of the Pines during the festival, just specially for the festival. For those of you that want to do that, you can. It's first come, first serve at Top of the Pines. And I believe their website is topofthepines.org.
It sounds like there's maybe other kinds of art involved, community organizing. Tell me, so if we have an after party, tell me a little bit more surrounding events.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not leaning so much into the revelry in the sense that there's a bunch of parties. I mean, love that. But this is a little bit different. We have an after party with DJ Biso and people can come and dance and that's wonderful and like have fun and we will. Going out to look at the stars, this is a little bit different, right? Yeah. You're going to go out and maybe it's going to be a little cold and beautiful and you'll get some a tour of the different constellations together with the folks that you've just met at this film festival. So that's pretty exciting. On Sunday, there's a all abilities work 5K that's, you know, you can walk, you can run, you can do whatever you want, but it is, you're going to watch the film Remaining Native and be so moved to go out on this run that we wanted to make sure that we had it ready for people to do so. It is a very powerful story of Ku Stevens who, in memorial of his great grandfather who ran away from an Indian boarding school three times when he was 8 years old. Yes, it's a very, very intense, goosebumps. I mean, goosebumps, yeah. This film has been traveling around the United States. Remaining Native, Paige Bethman is a wonderful director and her impact coordinator is Ku's mother. And they are like, talk about grassroots community organizing. This story has touched so many people. We're just one of many film festivals that have embraced this story and the visceral, immediacy of sharing in the story by moving your body as a part of the experience together with community, I think is an extremely powerful way to touch into these stories. And so, so we're doing that too. And that's on Sunday right after that second screening.
Is there a particular film that is exciting to you that you're excited about just to see and have a part of the festival?
There are two and they're completely different. But one appeals to my sense of humor in such a perfect way. The Rug Hustler, it's set in Fresno, but it feels very, the setting is, outside of Fresno, and the setting feels like it could be a sister to Ridgeway. The landscape is great. It's you know, kind of high deserty. And it's got a 1970s feel. There's a magic carpet in there, and it's a great film, and it's a short film. And so you don't want to talk about it too much because you ruin it. Just come and see it.
Okay.
The Rug Hustler, and the title kind of says it.
All right. Yeah. Rug Hustler. What else? What's the second one?
So, on a more intense and with a little more gravity, I will point out Disposable Humanity. The film title says a lot there. But I traveled to LA and saw this film at Slam Dance, and I could not bring this film to the place where I could share it with people to sit down and look and talk about it. So is it a Holocaust film? Yes. But is it about specifically the disabled community being targeted during the Holocaust? And is it a film created by disability scholars who are part of a family and they themselves went and experienced all of their research in person as disabled bodies? It's amazing. It is extremely difficult to encapsulate this film. It is something to see and experience with the filmmakers that are coming to join us in person and to open up our town and the conversation to the amazing wisdom of these disability scholars. It's moves across. Yeah, it's transcendent, actually.
Disposable Humanities?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ariel, tell our listeners where they can go to maybe see the lineup or learn more about the film festival and purchase tickets.
Yeah. So I will say there are tickets and passes available at ridgewayfestival.co. And Ridgway is spelled R-I-D-G-W-A-Y. There are free programs as well as paid tickets to come into the festival. So everybody can come and enjoy it. We're open for you to come experience this.
The Ridgway Independent Film Festival isn't just titles on a screen. It's how a small town throws open the doors to big ideas. Filmmaker Arlo Perez Esquivel.
You know, I see this beyond just filmmaking. I really think that storytelling in general is powerful. I'm originally from Urapan, Michoacan. If you know Michoacan, you probably know it from Breaking Bad, where the Salamancas came. It has this idea and this preconception of what it is, especially I've lived in the U.S. now for 16 years and have the notions of what people think about when they think about my hometown, the stories that they've never heard, the people, the voices that they've never actually listened to. And as someone who migrated to the U.S., as someone who's here, who has that perspective, I felt it was kind of my responsibility to try and go to different communities and try and elevate as many voices as I could. So filmmaking is part of that, and I think it's the power of storytelling. You know, you see such a diverse group of storytellers here, all the stories that they're telling that you wouldn't get that unique experience anywhere else.
Filmmaker Kyle Van Buskirk.
Film has such a unique expressionistic quality that comes from within, and the most special part about it is getting people to enjoy it in a community screening, getting butts in seats and having discussions with people in real time, and having that experience all together is just truly special.
Well, thanks so much for coming to talk with KVNF and bringing this cool cadre of filmmakers along with us, and for bringing some creative energy and a sense of community to our little town of Ridgway. So thanks, Aria.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for today. This has been Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. Special thanks in this episode goes to Ariel Bialak, director of the Ridgway Independent Film Festival, Kyle Van Buskirk, filmmaker of Anna from Expedition Studios in Ridgway, and Dwayne LeBlanc, filmmaker of This Light Is Fire 2, Olympic Village, and Now Hear Me Good. Also, Arlo Perez Esquivel, filmmaker and journalist and maker of American Outdoors, and Suja Moore, filmmaker of Pardon Me. The full schedule and ticket information are available at ridgewayfestival.co. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson. Thanks so much for listening.